Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Audio Judo, a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Kyle.
How's everybody doing out there? How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm not too bad.
Good.
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Hope everybody's doing good out there as well.
Yeah. Old business, I got nothing.
Yeah, I got nothing. We're recording these too fast right now. That's what the problem is. We're just blowing through these babies.
Like a factory.
Right?
Just churning them out.
Just like a car factory that switched over to ventilators.
I was going
to
say the exact same thing. Stole it right out of my mouth.
Sometimes I do that.
That's all right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what are we talking about this week?
Well, we are talking about the albums of summer.
Ooh.
So originally when I envisioned recording an episode about albums of summer, I thought I would be recording it in late spring for an early summer release. And then the coronavirus thing happened and our recording schedule changed. We adapted and we started recording every week if we could. Found some artists that were also quarantined and willing to have a conversation with us, which is great. So this one got kicked down the road a little bit, but I always knew we would get to it.
Yeah.
So now it's a late spring recording, but my feeling is by the time this hits the air, it will be early August, probably.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
So incidentally, this is a bit of an aside. This is the germ of the idea to do a podcast at all.
Ooh.
So way back years ago, when the show that we all collectively worked on was new, and I was the only person in this room that was actually at that show, we used to run out of things to talk about on headset because we had spent 11 hours a day, 6 days a week on headset during creation. And we had pretty much felt like talked about everything that we could talk about. So there were these weird periods of awkward silence. So midway through the second show, one night in the oblivion of shows that we were doing, I said over headset, "What records do you guys listen to start off your summer?" And there was this awfully long silence. And then I said, "Well, mine is X." And then there was another long pause. And then the most unlikely of all voices from above, Mr. Brian Wise said, "Yes, that's the one. I was just about to say that." And this is when all of our comms were still all connected.
Yeah.
Before the great schism of 2017. And at that moment, I thought, I should get a podcast thing and just talk about stuff like music. Podcast thing. And that idea would bounce around in my head for years and years and do nothing. And now look at me.
Hey.
That's amazing.
Now we're rolling in the free podcast money.
Yeah, just watching it blow in like tumbleweed across the desert. Is that money? No, that's just
dirt. Just another tumbleweed.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, when I try to get feedback from people on what their albums of summer were for this episode, I had a hard time trying to explain exactly what I was looking for. I kept getting albums with summer in the title.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And that's not really what I was going for. I didn't want to do an episode about In the Summertime by Mungo Jerry.
Oh, shit.
Do. Tell me that's not one of mine.
That's not one of mine. I was just joking. That's
everything needs a it's that jug band. My point was to capture the feeling that summer evokes. You know, I have records that make it feel like summer to me. Songs or records that you listen to at the beach or the cabin, or in the car with the windows down, or sitting on the porch sipping lemonade, watching a sunset. You know, I feel like it's a lot easier to pinpoint a winter record, one that makes you feel melancholy or cold or morose or whatever. Yeah. It's easier to say, that sounds like winter. And maybe even spring is easier with exuberance, you know, and rebirth. But summer is about fun, about joy, about having a good time. It's also more difficult to talk about a full record and not just songs.
That was the hardest part for me. So I can think of, like, right off the top of my head, I could probably list a dozen summer songs.
Of course.
But then you look at the rest of those albums and you're like, there's like just that one song on there. The rest of this is completely different.
But we're not a song podcast.
No. And that was what was so hard, is I kept being like, oh, let's try this album. And then I'm like, the whole album doesn't really feel like summer. It just has like a kind of a spring or summer moment on it. And then it kind of just fades away.
Right.
That was super difficult for me.
And we'll let other podcasts deal with
songs. I'm not going to lie. I kind of cheated twice on that
That's
one.
That's okay. Cheating is okay.
2 out of 3. So we'll explain that in a minute. But
I believe Meatloaf said 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
That's true.
Which, you know.
He also had sex with that car.
He did.
Or a baseball player. I'm still not sure which.
Yeah, I can't remember. Was that Paradise by the Dashboard Lights?
Yeah,
I
don't know. That's what that song's about, right?
I think so.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. I've always...
Having sex on a dashboard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or with a tight dashboard. Fit. I'm not sure.
It's tight. Oh, giggity.
With Meatloaf? Yeah, that's a tight fit. hope it's like a big old like 50s car, because otherwise...
It's got to be like...
Ain't no chance.
It's got to be like a 57 ship, like a big old
boat.
It's
a Nissan Leaf. Oh, yeah, that's not going to happen.
A Cadillac Fleetwood. Big. So yeah, talking about full records is difficult, you know, but it makes it more fun. You put a record on or a cassette in the tape deck and you just let it run and listen to the whole thing.
I would agree.
So I spent a lot of time trying to break it down in a certain way to represent a bunch of eras or times, maybe a few genres as well.
Ooh.
It's not easy because people have strong opinions. The ones I chose were popular in the summer they were released. Predominantly fun records, and it's at least somehow evoked the summertime feeling in me. I also have a list of listeners' choices. Yeah, that's weird. That we'll mention and talk about a little at the end. So you and I decided that this one we would go a little more old school for us, if there is such a thing. So back in the first few episodes of Audio Judo, we did one called Soundtrack Shootout.
Yes.
We talked about the best movie soundtracks, and we didn't tell each other what we had picked to offer a little more spontaneity.
Mm-hmm.
That is episode 5, in case you were curious.
There you go. I was just about to say, I think that's 4 or 5, but you've already got it.
Well, we decided to go back to that and not talk about our choices in advance. Perhaps this will elicit some passionate responses.
Ooh, I hope it does.
You're raw. So, like I said, for me, this is all about evoking the feeling of summer.
Yeah.
And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that this may be a predominantly Midwestern phenomenon, either Midwestern or East Coast. So we collectively, people from the Midwest, have spent the last 6 months from mid-November to mid-April in relative bleakness. Most days are gray and cold with plenty of snow. Leaves are gone. The grass is brown or white, depending on the day. There's not a lot of beauty, what I would consider beauty and you know, stuff that's alive, at least. So then April comes, we get a couple of warm days, but those are just a tease because you usually get a spring snow in May that ruins everything. But then sometime around Memorial Day or maybe a couple weeks later, summer officially arrives. The first time you can wear short sleeves and no jacket. Your windows are down. It's a fresh breeze on the air. The smell of newly mowed lawns wafts across the neighborhood. These are the feelings that I have when I listen to these records. So we chose 3.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to choose ones from different times because my first trio that I originally went through with my first pass were all within 3 years of one another. And I'm sure that's a product of adolescence when music was such a huge key role. And it's also really fun music. But yeah, it was all like I think these all came out. These are all the same summer. That must have been a good summer.
That's a good episode, a good future episode. What was the best season for music?
Mm.
That'd be tough.
I already have an answer for that.
No, I guess, let me rephrase that. We'd have to do 4 episodes. What was the best winter for music? What was the best summer? What was the best spring? What was the best fall?
Ah, our seasonal collection.
Yeah, that'd be tough. That'd be tough.
Randy, you can just package those all 4 together, send them all out.
Yeah.
Audio Judo's seasonal collection.
Ooh.
1995. Call now. You can get 2. Just pay a separate fee.
On 4 vinyl discs, 2 cassettes, or 4 CDs.
Or 8 tracks.
Eight tracks.
That's 64 tracks.
For the low price of only $9.99 per disc.
Oof. We're going to make a killing.
Right?
So I hand the floor to you.
So you already went over a lot of the stuff I wanted to talk about before we started, but I was going to say what I boiled this down to when I was trying to think of what makes a good summer album was what makes a good summer day.
Oh,
and to me, what makes a good summer day is you get up a little late, you know, you eat a little bit because you're hungover from the night before.
And half the day is already gone.
Yeah. You go do something. You go to the beach. you go to the lake, you go sit by the river, you go to the pool, whatever.
Water was involved in every single one of those.
Water was involved in every single one of those. Summertime thing. I feel like water is important in the summer. Mm. But that's the first step, is you got to go somewhere, get a little wet, and you're going to listen to music while you do it. That's where the first album comes in. Second thing you're going to do, you're going to go home, you're going to cook dinner, you're going to barbecue. So what are you going to listen to while you barbecue? Third one is after you're barbecuing, what are you going to do to wind up the night? Maybe you're going to sit around and have some drinks. Maybe you're just going to relax, whatever. You're going to listen to a little bit more music and just let the night wind down while you kind of fade away.
Or that. Go clubbing with Brandy.
You could go clubbing. That's originally. So I have changed these albums like half a dozen times in the last few days.
Yep.
And originally, and I'll talk about this much later, the album that I picked as the night album was a lot more upbeat and a lot more like, you know, nightclubbing type of an album.
Mm.
And then I was like, but I would never do that. So I picked something that's a lot more slow you down, have a few beers, and then go to bed type of an album.
I see.
Okay. So the first one on here, I got a confession to make.
I'm listening.
I love surf music.
Yeah?
I do.
Okay.
Old surf music, rebirth surf music. And it's, for some reason, a lot of people get really upset by that. I don't know why.
Why?
I don't know.
It's good music. It makes you happy. It's good.
But I knew going into this that this first album, the kind of, you know, hanging out by the pool or the going to the beach or whatever album, had to be like a surf music album.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two types of surf music. There's instrumental surf music. That would be like Dick Dale that type of stuff. And then there's vocal surf music. And obviously, kings of vocal surf music, the people that everybody know, the Beach Boys.
The Beach Boys.
So I started thinking like, all right, what Beach Boys album really encompasses this whole thing? And I cheated a little bit.
Uh-oh.
I picked Endless Summer from 1974.
He's happy about that.
Randy loves it. So this, in my opinion, this is a little bit of a cheat because it's a best of album.
Oh, that's okay.
It covers basically all their best songs from 1962 to like 1967. And then if you get the CD or the digital copy of it, it also has Good Vibrations from Pet Sounds tacked on the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a reason why I think that even though it's a little bit of a cheat, I still went ahead and picked it. Like I said, it covers a lot of their like classic surf era. It's highly regarded by critics and fans alike. Robert Christgau included it in his basic record library of the 50s and 60s, which is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Colin Larkin, who writes the Encyclopedia of Music, rated it album number 972 out of 1,000 on his all-time top 1,000 albums. Just pretty high up there, but still, top 1,000, that's pretty good. It also was hugely popular when it came out in 1974. Three times platinum in the U.S. When they released it, it shot right up to the number one spot on the Billboard Top 100. It was on the Billboard Top 100 for 155 weeks.
Was that it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
Went gold in Canada and silver in the UK as well.
I believe I have that on vinyl.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
It also totally changed the direction of the Beach Boys' career because they went through the whole surf music thing and then they kind of, starting with Pet Sounds forward, they went into this experimental.
Yeah.
Different sound than a lot of people that were used to their surf music didn't really like, but they released this and it blew up and became so popular. They kind of redirected and said, why don't we just play our classics, our oldies, and become that band and make a living doing it? And they did.
Oh, they
did.
And
they still do. I mean, that's, you know, you can still go see a Beach Boys show.
Uncle Jesse's been playing drums with them for years.
Right. Yeah, it's a fun album. It's very beachy. It's very,
holy moly. It is loaded with hits.
Yep. I was just about to say notable tracks, Surf and Safari, Little Deuce Coop, fun, California Girls, Surfing USA,
all of them,
All Summer Long, Good Vibrations. If you get the extended cut, and this California Girls.
Well, East Coast girls are hip, I really dig those styles they wear. And the Southern girls with the way they talk, they knock me out when I'm down there. The Midwest farmer's daughters really make you feel alright. And the Northern girls with the way they kiss, they keep
absolute Southern California classic. And it is, like I said, it is a fun album. It's not super long. It's only, depending on which version you get, 45, 47 to like 52 minutes long, I think.
Because every song is like 2.5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. It is very, very pop music, but I still love it. It's great.
Very short.
Very short.
But that's a great choice. That's a great choice to get us started off.
Right. Definitely says summer. So what is your first album, Matthew?
My first album is one that I've mentioned before. It's Van Halen's 5150. Quite literally, I could have picked any Van Halen album from the catalog. To me, they are the quintessential hard rock summer band, maybe with the exception of Van Halen 3, which is terrible.
Which we've discussed before.
Right. Every single one of their albums has that party summer sound. And we talked about this before in our rotating rosters episode, but
yeah,
bears a little bit further examination. First of all, the reason I associate this record so much with summer was when I heard it. The first time I heard the whole record, I was at eighth grade confirmation camp in 1986.
Wow.
Yeah. The album had been out for a couple months by then, and I had heard a couple singles off of it. This was St. Edmunds, the church that I went to. This is their confirmation camp. And we had to go to sessions and stuff, but we had a lot of free time to just kind of walk around and hang out with people. Dino Senna was the only one smart enough of all of us to bring a portable stereo with him to camp. And I'm guessing this was the only cassette he brought. And we were far enough out in the country that the local rock stations did not come in via antenna. So this is the only record that he played for 3 effing days. But those songs, those feelings, those memories were permanent. I remember the names. I remember what we did and where we walked and what we had for dinner. I remember every little bit of that. And just because that the music became ingrained, so all these memories kind of built around it, you know, acid wash jeans, tagged pants, thread bracelets, and then this record on repeat. And this is the one that must get the summer started for me. While I love my other two choices, this is the opener. Living in Vegas now, some of the suspense is removed,
mm-hmm.
because it can be like high 70s in February.
Yeah.
You know, high 70s in Michigan would absolutely be the beginning of summer, but here, not so much. I have to wait and kind of see when summer begins. You know, I like to say mid-April is fair. You can feel it in the air. You know, you can feel it. And I'm about to drive to work and you can feel it. Windows go down. Sunroof gets slid back and this gets loaded onto Spotify. Now, used to be cassette or CD, whatever, but Spotify. And the riffs on the opening song, Good Enough, are just so damn crunchy. There's no other way to describe that sound. People that know me, you included, know that I am a sucker for great lyrics. This record has none of those. Zero. This is straight up get it music. Or I had it and I lost it music. Could be. It's not deep at all. And maybe that's why it suits summer so well. I didn't have to think. It was loud and shallow and you could sing along without really giving too much shit what it was about. You have classic songs before you get to Summer Nights, which I know what I said earlier about me not really meaning songs that have summer in the title. However, Summer Nights is a great song. So this song was so great to listen to at 14 or 15 years old in Northern Michigan, hanging out in town, blasting the stereo. It's really weird because I know none of these guys in Van Halen are from the Midwest. They're all California boys, but this record and this song in particular is pulled right out of those experiences. They're using a fishing metaphor to troll for chicks. We used to do both, fish and troll for chicks. We were better at fishing.
That seems very Michigan.
We were better at fishing than we were trolling for chicks. But
wrong type of lure.
Oh. So going back and reading the lyrics from this record, they're bad. Even the best of both worlds is really not good. However, it is a great song for summer, for any time really, but especially the summer. Just the sound of it. It's
right.
Every window down, just blasting, elbow out the side window.
It's a convertible song is what it is.
Yes, it is.
You have to listen to it in a convertible. That's
you want everybody else to share in your joy.
Yes.
Like even the, you know, where I grew up, even the 70-year-old neighbors in my neighborhood, like, oh, Matthew's home. Yeah. Mr. O'Haron, what's going on, my man? Lawn's looking good. Mr. Weber, also lawn looking good. Me, not so much. Dad, what are you doing? I don't care.
Trying to make the lawn look good.
You got to compete with these guys. Here, I'll put this record on. I'll get you going. Yeah, I don't care. So this was Van Halen's first number one record. Sold 6 million copies in the States. A couple bits of info on this record.
Ooh.
5 of the songs were written in one day.
What?
Not completed, but the frameworks were completely written in one day.
Wow.
At the time, it was the fastest selling record in Warner Brothers history, selling 1 million copies in the first week alone.
Jeez.
Right? It's a good record.
That's crazy, too, because that is 1 million physical copies.
Correct.
This is not like a million downloads, which is something that is easy to do. A million physical copies had to be produced, shipped out to record stores, and then people had to line up and purchase them.
Right. 1 million actual physical copies from your local Harmony House or Virgin Records or wherever the hell you went.
Sam Goody.
Sam Goody. To go pay, well, $9 for a cassette. Maybe a compact. It's a little early for compact disc.
I would say this is probably borderline. I bet it was out on compact disc, but I'll bet that wasn't the way that it sold.
I think I've had it in three. Well, I had it on cassette first and then compact disc and now digitally.
Digital.
But yeah, that's number one for me.
That's
a fantastic
awesome
record.
Great choice.
Thank you. So far, two good choices.
I would agree. My next one, my number two album, the barbecue album.
I'm so nervous.
Oh,
that we're gonna have crossover. I'm so nervous.
I doubt it.
Okay, good.
I really doubt it because I did not. There was one album on here, and we'll get to that after we talk about the others that I picked, and I was like, one of the reasons why I ended up rejecting it was because I was like, this could be an album Matthew could pick.
Oh,
and
that's intriguing.
I wrote down all the albums that I threw out at the end here.
Oh,
so
good.
If you want, we can go over them.
Yeah, because I have a list
quick
that other people sent in, and I also have a few that.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Yeah.
My barbecue album is Weezer's White Album from 2016. Pretty new for this list. I
yeah.
think. But I really do like it. It was released on April 1st, 2016. Was not an April Fool's Day joke. But it is a very, it funnily enough has a lot of influences from the Beach Boys. Especially in, there's a song on there called Endless Bummer. That is obviously a play on Endless Summer. And, if you listen to this track, Girl, We Got a Good Thing. It's got a very Beach Boys-y kind of a vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole album is, it's written as sort of a tribute to going to the beach in Southern California. That's really what it is. It is very upbeat and very, it's very California. I don't have another way to describe it.
No, that's an accurate way.
It is very much in the same kind of style as a lot of the early Weezer albums as well.
I got to look up the track list here. Go on.
Yeah. And it's good. It's a good summertime album.
Oh, Do You Want to Get High on there?
Yes, it is. Song. It was number 4 on the US Billboard Top 200 for a couple of weeks. I don't really know what else to say about it except go have a quick listen to it.
It's a good record.
It is.
I do enjoy it.
Some notable tracks. Girl, We Got a Good Thing that I was just talking about. Great song. Very Beach Boys influence.
I believe that was the single from it, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, I think that was the first single that came out. King of the World, also a good song. Summer, Elaine, and Drunk Dory, which I'll swing back to here in just a minute because that's a fun song. Endless Bummer, great song. And California Kids, which kind of, it's the first track on there, and it kind of set the tone for the whole album. Be all right if you're on a sinking ship.
Yeah.
kind of what the whole album sounds like. It's really good.
Yeah.
Very upbeat. But like I said, I wanted to swing back to a Summer Elaine and Drunk Dory because that's such a weird name. Summer Elaine and Drunk Dory. And Rivers Cuomo has said that the song's title came from an overheard conversation at a party at Rivers' daughter's school. One mother said that their husband called her school year Elaine during the year and summer Elaine after the school year had ended. And another mother commented that her husband had two names for her as well, one of them being Drunk Dory. Both mothers were thanked in the liner notes for the White Album. Yeah, it's a... what I think made this a good
look
album
a good
too
Karen.
Was oh crap, I didn't write down his name. Right? Hey, what's going on, Karen? I think one of the things that really made this album work well too was Jake Sinclair was the producer on this, and he and Rivers had different ideas about how this album should sound.
Okay.
So Rivers Cuomo was trying to do something new where he had created all these spreadsheets with a bunch of lyrics in them and like how they fit together rhythmically and how they fit together. Oh crap. Why can't I think of it all of a sudden?
You talk about like the meter, like
the meter. And what is it called? Where a word has like parts to it. You're taught when you're a kid to clap it out.
Oh, I don't know. Are you referring to syllables?
Syllables. Why couldn't I think of the word syllables? Holy shit. Syllables.
I thought I was digging deep for like a deeper.
No, it was literally the surface word. That's why I was so scared that I couldn't think of. Am I having a stroke right now?
Maybe.
Is it possible I'm dying?
Do you smell toast?
I just smell this pop filter.
Oh.
It smells like my bad breath.
Heather could be making bacon out there. So do you smell that?
No.
Okay.
So anyway, syllables. He broke it all down based on meter and syllables and how they worked and tried new writing techniques. And he also had, apparently, he had over 250 demos of tracks that he wanted to put on here. And Jake Sinclair looked at it and said, he listened to all of them, picked one song, and that was California Kids.
Mm.
And then they based the rest of the album off of that. And they kind of butted heads because Rivers Cuomo wanted new sounds. He's like, we got to do new stuff. We got to do new stuff. And Jake was like, no. Let's make this sound like old stuff. Let's make this sound like Pinkerton. Let's make this sound like the first couple albums.
Okay.
And I think it ended up being a sort of hybrid of the two that really, really works well.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Great album. Love
it.
It
is a great record.
What is your number two, Matthew?
Well, sometimes the stars align.
Hmm.
Sometimes there's a bit of serendipity involved. Sometimes when you don't discuss things between colleagues, you end up with Weezer, the Green Album.
Oh, I'm so glad you didn't pick the same album.
Ooh, that was great. Good. When you started talking, I'm like, oh, shit.
Your butthole puckered, didn't it?
A little bit. Weezer's The Green Album is my second choice. The definitive power pop album.
Oh, yeah.
10-song collection clocks in at just 28 minutes and 34 seconds. But man, what a fun ride, man. It's so good. So this released in May of 2001, and this was the answer to Pinkerton, the anti-Pinkerton, if you will. And I'm about to fill in that gap of knowledge right now. So Weezer had success with their album, the debut Blue Album, released in 1994.
Mm.
Riding the success of Undone Sweater Song and Buddy Holly, that record ended up selling 3.3 million copies in the U.S. and eventually 15 million copies worldwide by 2009, which is pretty significant.
Yeah.
Ranked 299 on Rolling Stone's list of the best 500 records of all time.
Pretty good.
So it was a hell of a start to their career.
Yeah.
So they followed that up with the deeply personal and autobiographical album Pinkerton. Super dark and abrasive record. And at the time, it was received thusly. It did not sell well. The record company was pissed, and the reviewers torched it. 1996, Rolling Stone named it the third worst album of the year.
Whoa.
The failure of that record would drive lead singer and guitarist Rivers Cuomo into seclusion and deep depression. He holed up in his house at one point, covering his windows with black painted plexiglass to allow zero light in. And then the internet came to the rescue. So over the next 3 years, Pinkerton would gain a cult status, eventually go platinum, and found its legs via word of mouth because essentially the band had given up. word got back to Rivers about it, and it would drive him to start writing again. But he decided to never write autobiographical songs anymore because of that experience. So he ended up writing over 100 songs in that period.
Wow.
Turning 75 of those 100 songs into demos. He lured back the Cars' Rick Ocasek, who was the producer on the Blue album, to produce the new one, even recreating the cover art of the first record, albeit with a different color. And where Pinkerton was dark and disturbing, this album shot out of the gate with this sheen, this brightness, clarity. And it's one of those records that is best played super, super loud.
Oh, yeah.
Longest song on the record is the last one, Oh Girlfriend, which clocks in at 350, but mostly that's just tail end. But it's how much gets packed into these songs that's really the star. Songs like Hash Pipe about an LA transvestite or Photograph shows how much songwriting can actually get done in 2.5 minutes.
You want it, you can have it, but you gotta learn to reach out there and grab it. Cause everybody wants some love. Shoot it from the stars above. And though my heart will break, there's more than I can take. I can never get enough. If you need it, you should show it. Cause you might play so monastic that you blow it.
So good.
Right. You know, something that I do kind of find interesting, and this just popped into my head. We have talked about Weezer on this podcast maybe half a dozen times.
Yeah.
In, you know, 30-ish episodes. We have not yet done a Weezer album.
I know.
We both like Weezer.
Clearly, we do enjoy Weezer.
Haven't done a Weezer album yet. So just saying, kind of a weird decision on our parts. But
Hold on, let me, you continue to talk. Let me make a note here.
Oh, a Weezer album.
A Weezer.
The trick is going to be
episode.
Which album? You know what? Let's open this up. Let us know which Weezer album you want us to review.
Oh, yeah.
So email us info@audiojudo.com. We're not going to take this request anywhere else unless I really decide to. This, obviously, we said this episode probably won't come out until late summer. So we will postpone doing a Weezer episode until fall-ish 2020 sometime. But email us. Let us know. Between whenever this episode comes out, you've got, let's say, a month. Let's say you guys have a month to email us with which Weezer album we should do and tell us why. Just needs to be one sentence like, I really like this album, or whatever you do, don't do this because it sucks. Don't talk about Hurley. Email us, let us know which one you want us to do, and if we actually get some emails from people, we will do that album. Yeah. whichever one we get the most votes for.
I kid, Hurley's actually a pretty good record.
Yeah, so they're all pretty good records, but go ahead.
They are. Most people know this record because of Islands in the Sun.
Yeah,
which is a great song, but it's actually my least favorite on the record because it's so unlike everything else on here, which kind of just takes you, it's fine, it just seems out of place.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things written about this song is a review from the AV Club, who said this, and this kind of ties this whole thing together so far with the first four choices. A reminder that Cuomo really does deserve Brian Wilson comparisons for reasons beyond being a hermetic weirdo with a solid grasp of pop song craft. It's a little rude with the whole hermetic weirdo comment, but it makes sense. This album would be ranked by Rolling Stone is the fourth best record of 2001, which is a nice recovery from the Pinkerton debacle.
From being one of the three worst albums to
one of the top four. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
It would sell over 1.5 million copies, solidify Weezer as the power pop nerd guys. And for me, Weezer has always been a summertime band.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I think when I listen to them, like Seek It Out, it's almost always summer. So interesting serendipity. That's right. Why
I'm glad that happened, though. I do have a question for you, though. Were they actually your second album? Did it just so happen that we both picked second albums as Weezer albums?
Yeah.
Or did you adjust the order there?
No, that's number two.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Number two. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Your turn.
My third album. This is it. This is the closing out the night album. You want to put something on. It's going to wind everything down, get everybody, you know, you can sit around and have some drinks, relax a little bit before you doze off.
Mm-hmm.
Picked a live album for this one.
It's not Kiss Alive, is it?
No, it is not Kiss Alive.
Is it Frampton Comes Alive?
It's not Frampton Comes Alive. It is Led Zeppelin, How the West Was Won.
Ooh.
Oh my God. This is by far my favorite live album of all time.
Really?
And I think that it consistently is in my top 10 albums. It was released in May, 2003. I actually, at the time, I was working at Walmart, in the electronics department, mm-hmm. because I was still a teenager and you take what you can get. And I knew this album was coming out, for weeks ahead of time because we would get the release, things early. And I actually went into work on a day off to buy this album.
Wow.
Which, you know, as an apathetic teenager, that's a pretty, pretty big,
that's a bold move.
It's a bold move, Cotton. So it was recorded, from a tour in 1972 of North America. It's actually split up between two different venues, the LA Forum, on the 25th of June, 1972, and the Long Beach Arena on the 27th of June, 1972.
When was this released though?
2003.
Okay.
So there's a reason, it was lost. So this is a one thing I should say. There were a few bootlegs. There are a lot of bootlegs floating around of Zeppelin concerts. Mm. Neither of these concerts had a good bootleg. There were a couple of really low quality bootlegs floating around that didn't sound very good. And people knew that at the time, as Zeppelin was touring, they were doing at audio board recordings
okay.
of every single concert. Or supposedly every single concert. And then the ones that they sounded good, they would archive it or stick it somewhere. So this one kind of got lost for a while. So in 2003, they were working on a Led Zeppelin DVD collection, and Jimmy Page was going through the archives, and he found these recordings.
Mm.
And so, well, presumably a little bit before 2003.
Isn't it amazing to be able to record so much that you don't even know the things that you recorded?
Yeah. You just lose them.
That you're like happen over it and be like, oh yeah.
Oh, right. That concert.
There were only 60,000 people at this one. How did I forgot about it? That's weird.
But Jimmy Page said in the liner notes for this, his quote is, while I was searching through the archives for visual and audio material for the Led Zeppelin DVD, I rediscovered these 1972 performances. And then he goes on to say, this is Led Zeppelin at its best and an illustration of how the West was won. Which
interesting. Jimmy Wonder where Page, they got the title from.
Right. If Jimmy Page is saying this is Led Zeppelin at their best, that's
saying something.
It's pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And it really is an unbelievable album. If you've never listened to it, it's available all over the place. Go have a listen. But did go platinum. It was number one on the Billboard chart for a couple of weeks, stayed on the chart for 16 weeks, which is a pretty good run for a live album. Notable tracks on here, obviously a lot of the classic Zeppelin stuff. Immigrant Song, Over the Hills and Far Away, Stairway to Heaven, of course, is on here. Dancing Days, there's a, on the third, it's a three CD set. And on the third one, the second and the third one, there are some like strung together songs where because they were live, obviously, they just kept playing and playing and playing. So there's one that is Dazed and Confused, Walter's Walk and the Crunge, that's 25 minutes long.
Oof.
And it's great. There's another one that's A Whole Lot of Love, Boogie Chillin', Let's Have a Party, Hello Mary Lou, and Going Down Slow, that's 23 minutes long. And it's this great, just long run.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. The Ocean, of course, is on here.
Sure.
And I think, my opinion, of course, here, this is the best version of rock and roll that Zeppelin ever did.
Oh,
so good. And I what I love about it is that it's not perfect.
Oh yeah.
It is so much live. It's a little bit out of, you know, it's a little bit out of whack.
He's trying to play all those guitar parts.
Right? And it's so good. It sounds so different from the album version and I love it. But yeah, this whole album, it's very long. Like I said, it covers three CDs. I think it's 141 minutes. So over 2 hours worth of Led Zeppelin concert. I mean, it's great. This is the type of concert that would make George Harrison say, fuck me. From previously.
That's true. He would.
Yeah, it is a wonderful fuck live me. Album. And if you've never heard it, get yourself a couple of beers and sit down and listen to it some night.
All right. You don't have to tell me twice.
Yeah, I really had to pry that one into you.
Yeah, you did. Jeez.
Here it is, Matthew, your final summer album.
So after those two crunchy choices, do you have any idea what my third choice is going to be, Kyle? You got any sense?
Oh, I'm going to guess it's something, a Britney Spears album is what I'm going to guess. No.
My third choice is Led Zeppelin. No. Damn you, Kyle. So my third choice was not something I thought I would even listen to before 2003. It's not really a record I listened to in my youth at all. Not a style, except maybe kind of tangentially that I really related to at all. The style was represented in many other things I used to listen to, at least in part, but I never sought it out. I knew the bigger names, but only a little bit. This will come as a surprise to a lot of people that know me. My third choice is Exodus by Bob Marley and the Wailers.
Oh.
So I had heard bits and pieces of this over the years, especially One Love and Jamming to some degree. But it wasn't until 2003 when my wife and I went to Jamaica for a vacation did I listen to the whole thing. And it's such a fantastic record from top to bottom. So this record was his ninth. It was the follow-up to his most successful record in the U.S. to that date, Rastamon Vibration. In December 1976, Marley, his wife, and his manager were at his house in Nine Mile when there was an assassination attempt on his life. He was shot and grazed. His wife and manager were more seriously injured. There was a ton of political upheaval in Jamaica at that time. People still believe that shooting was politically motivated because of what side of the aisle he kind of tended to land on.
Wow.
The best part of that story is he still performed 2 days later at a small Jamaica concert.
Oh, that's
still
awesome.
Dragged his ass out there. It was great. regardless, Marley left right after that to live in Nassau for a month or so, and then he moved to London for a 2-year self-imposed exile.
Wow.
The Wailers had been disbanded. They'd all gone on to do solo work. So he put together a new version of the Wailers where he recorded this record that is dripping with British rock and blues and soul and coupled with his own unique version of reggae. He also changed his lyrical style from real cryptic storytelling to songs about faith and sex predominantly. But from tracks 5 to 10 are just some of the greatest songs ever recorded. Title track runs almost 8 minutes.
Wow.
And it's every bit the classic that people say that it is. Reached number one in Jamaica, in the UK, and in Germany. Almost cracked the top 100 in the US. But it's a Rastafarian revolutionary theme song. And the classic Three Little Birds is a song that I probably hear about 20 times a day when we are on the beach in Montego Bay. And unlike so many other songs that we hear on vacation, it never gets old. Don't worry about a thing.
Great song.
It's so great. And I usually play this at the beginning of summer as like a call to vacation. I usually take my vacations in November and December. So this is my starting the summer looking forward to the end of the year record.
Nice.
And I just, Rush used to incorporate some reggae into their songs in the early 80s. I know the Police did it for a long time. And really, for the longest time, that was the limit of my exposure to reggae, other than, you know, I knew I shot the sheriff. I knew stuff like that, and it wasn't, but it didn't resonate until I really sat down and listened to this whole thing and what he was trying to say and how he communicated it. And I'm like, damn, that's just too good. That's just so good. So that's my three.
That's it. That's the six albums you should listen to this summer for sure.
We have a whole bunch of other stuff though. We have other stuff.
You want to go over some fan submissions?
Yeah, I have, my wife recommended, she had three as we were driving to Phoenix last week. Smash by The Offspring, which is a great record.
Yeah, it is.
I always forget about it. I know. I forget about it. And you realize that it's loaded with hits too. Dookie by Green Day.
Another good one.
Also loaded with hits. Smash Mouse, Astro Lounge. And they all do have that summery mid-90s vibe to them.
I was about to say, your wife's got a type there.
Yeah, because the fourth one was Tragic Kingdom by No Doubt, which again is same, right at the exact same time. One of your co-workers, Nikki, suggested Gunslinger by Garth Brooks.
Ooh.
Which is the first and only country suggestion that I see on my list, which is good. My son Christian suggested Sunlit Youth by Local Natives.
Ooh.
He and I had an interesting back and forth because he doesn't necessarily think that they're summer albums or spring albums or winter albums. They're mood albums.
Oh.
Like I'm in a happier mood. I'm like, that would probably lean more to summer than anything else. So we had to kind of winnow it down.
Interesting.
To get to a point. One of our friends, Vikram, suggested 36 Chambers by Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a great, it's a good record.
Wu-Tang.
Wu-Tang.
My friend Paul suggested Summertime from the Home Base record by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
That's awesome.
Which is good. Doggy Style by Snoop Dogg was suggested because it's got Gin and Juice on it. So you can't go wrong with that.
It's a good summer song.
One of my other ones that I kind of went back and forth, actually these, the rest of these, I kind of went back and forth about including in my top three and kind of kept taking them out. Eliminator by ZZ Top.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's hard to get around that record. I want to do a ZZ Top record, but I don't know that I'm going to do that one at some point. Cosmic Thing by the B-52s.
Ooh, that's a good one too.
Also loaded with hits and very, you know, it's stuck in a time.
Yes.
But it's still really good.
It definitely, you listen to that and you're like, oh yeah, this is from the late 80s.
Yeah. I had Miser Lou by Dick Dale, which I know is a song, but who cares? It's awesome. Yeah. Vacation by the Go-Go's, which I almost put on today's list because it just sounds like summer to me.
Yeah.
And the last one deserves an entire episode all to itself, and that's The Chronic by Dr. Dre.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to do that one at some point.
It's too good.
Everybody wants to know what two middle-aged white men have to say about The Chronic.
I want to know what I have to say about The Chronic. I'm not going to know till I'm halfway through it.
Yeah, man.
Chronic, man.
We might have to swap out the beers for some pot.
Ooh.
In that episode. It's legal here. So,
gummies?
Some gummies. That'd be fun. So some of my almost made it's Dick Dale's Surface Choice from 1962. That does have Miserloo on it.
I figured.
One of the toughest things about picking early surf music is that everybody covered everybody else at the time with their own kind of style on it. So no matter what album you pick, there's covers of other surf music songs on there, and it gets really weird and complicated, but they all still sound great. Huh. But Seriously Folks by Joe Walsh from 1978.
That's a good record.
It is. Life's Been Good to Me So Far. Great summer song.
There's a lot of good stuff on that record.
There is, but that one in particular, just it's such a laid back and like great song. Purple by the Stone Temple Pilots from 1994.
That was their second record, right?
Yes.
So that was the, I don't remember.
That's Interstate Love Song.
Meat
Plow is the first track.
Gotcha.
It's a good album. It's very, I think that it's more of a summer for me type of an album. That's why I rejected it.
And that's the exercise to go through, because I feel like a lot of them, like a lot of other ones that I had on my list that I didn't even list here, were albums, summer albums for me.
Yeah.
Boston's first record, Boston, that we've covered at length, is definitely one of those summer albums for me. Like, I remember just hanging out at the beach playing volleyball and just playing it, flipping the cassette, playing it, flipping the cassette, playing it. And you're out there for 3 hours, so it's a 40-minute record. I listened to it 5 times. But it just doesn't get old. It's perfect for that time of year.
It is. Night Work by the Scissor Sisters from 2010. That was the one that was kind of the Scissor Sisters. Matthew is doing the hand instead of another hand, representing two women having sex with one another.
I don't know what you're referring to. just making hand gestures at Randy.
I don't know what it is either. It's a great kind of a almost clubby type of an album.
What is it called again?
Night Work.
I'll have to look it up.
It's good.
I'm familiar with the band, but I don't know that I would know that record.
And then Van Halen 2 from 1979. Specifically because the thing that got me thinking about it was Beautiful Girls is such a great summer song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful Girls.
So there you have it, everybody. Summer songs. Like we said, you'll probably be listening to this in August.
Albums of summer.
I did say songs of summer.
You did.
Albums of summer. So have a listen, flashback to what you did over the summer. Hopefully it was good. And then let us know what you did over the summer. You can email us, info@audiojudo.com, facebook.com/audiojudo. We're at Audio Judo on Twitter and Instagram. What else do we need to say here? We're now part of the Pantheon Podcast Network.
Absolutely.
So if you're done listening to us and you want to listen to some other great music podcasts, go check them out.
And I know for a fact that there is a Weezer based podcast.
Yes, there is.
On Pantheon, which I'm sure they go into much more detail than will, but we still want to hear from you about which Weezer album we should cover,
please.
But if you're looking for real bare bones, down in depth, go ahead, check them out. I can't remember what their name is off the top of my head. But if you look around Pantheon, you'll find it.
Yeah. The cover of their podcast icon is, I believe, the two of them standing in front of a thing. It looks like a Weezer album cover
because
it's a solid color and it's got the text.
But check them out. And then come back and check out the rest of our episode.
Please. So we hope you had a good summer, or we hope you're about to have a good summer if you're in the Southern Hemisphere. didn't even think about that. Those people, if we've got listeners in the Southern Hemisphere, they're about to start their summer. So, enjoy your summer.
And the people that are listening to us from Russia, I'm sorry, you don't get a summer.
Too bad. Sorry.
I kid.
But hope everybody's doing good, and hope you enjoyed the episode. Take care, everybody.
We'll talk to you later. Bye.